Hello, Renee.
Hey, Andrew, and hello, Inga's Nation. You're listening to episode 8 of the CrossFit Inga's podcast. And today we're going to talk about the programming that we do here at Inga's. But first, we're going to get into a little icebreaker.
Yeah.
Is that right?
We got a little intro today.
I don't really know what's going on.
Yeah. So I asked you to fill out a little personality quiz.
Yes.
Some people may be familiar with it. It's called the Myers-Briggs personality test.
Okay.
So basically what did you do? You answered like a series of questions.
Yeah.
Right? Personality questions.
Yeah.
And then based on your score, it spits out these four letters.
Yes.
Right? And the four letters are essentially the combination of those letters is supposed to be like dictate your personality.
Right.
So there's like 16 different combinations that it could be. And each one of those combinations has like a personality trait associated with it.
Okay.
So I had you do that. You gave me your numbers.
My results.
Now the twist with this is for this test, it gives you a Simpsons character.
Oh geez.
So we're gonna find out what your Simpsons character is.
Okay.
Based on those four the four letters.
Okay.
Okay.
This so is fun.
So you are Ned Flanders. So his characterization is the supporter.
All right, okay.
So I'm gonna read the description.
Okay. Okay.
This is pretty good. So personality. Mm-hmm. So your four letter combination was ESFJ.
Okay.
So ESFJs are social butterflies that value relationships, supporting and nurturing others. Never one to shy away from social events, they are often the host. They are great encouragers of teamwork. ESFJs are responsible, dutiful, and observe traditions and follow rules. ESFJs have a deep concern for others and often end up as caretakers. They are sensitive to criticism and have a need to be appreciated for the good things they do for others. ESFJs are understanding, generous, have quick wit, and a knack for composition and beautification.
I don't mind that so much.
You are Ned Flanders.
Who are you?
Okay, so I did mine too.
Okay.
All right, so I was ESTJ,
okay,
which is Chief Wiggum. He is the overseer. Okay? You want me to read mine?
Yeah, okay. Let's hear it.
So, ESTJs are responsible, logical, norm-following hard workers. Their efforts are carried out in a practical, structured manner.
Oh. Shocker.
ESTJs trust facts and experiences more than theories. They are decisive, loyal, tradition-observing individuals. They enjoy being the person in charge and often make good supervisors.
That is very accurate.
So we've got one more.
Okay.
So this was Kate's.
This is Kate's. All right.
Okay. So Kate was ESFP. She is Homer Simpson. So Homer Simpson is the entertainer. So ESFPs are cooperative, here and now people, persons that enjoy excitement and love new adventures. Because of their highly social nature, they are especially lively when they are the center of attention and they hate being alone. ESFPs have a practical side that allows them to finish work efficiently and are often good problem solvers.
I think that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
Especially the thing about loving new adventures. That's
yeah,
definitely good.
Yeah. That's so fun. And that's really funny.
Yep. So, Chris, if you're listening, you're next, buddy.
Yeah, we'll have to get him to do it, and we'll read his next week.
All right. Let's get into the podcast.
Yes. So, the programming.
Yeah, the programming.
All right. So, we've recently started using a new programming.
Yep.
Prior to that, where you guys did the programming.
Yep.
Right?
We did it for quite a while. So, for the first 4.5 years of the gym, we did all the programming.
Okay.
And typically what that would look like is, now we didn't make up every single workout. We pulled from different sources.
Sure.
We would make up our own workouts. And so typically what that would look like is we would, pull stuff during the week, try and put a few key components together, and then spend Saturday and Sunday kind of tweaking it, making it, making sure everything looked right, making sure everything flowed.
Right.
And it was a lot of work. So, a lot of hours on the weekend spent and like I was definitely one to obsess over it. Right.
Really?
Yeah. Shocker. Right.
Yeah.
Cause we want it to be good. We want to make sure that the workouts aren't, you know, conflicting across days.
It's pretty balanced.
Yeah, make sure it's balanced and doing all the things that we need to do. So it's a lot of work. And that's what we did basically for the first 4.5 years of the gym.
Okay.
Six or 8 months ago.
Yeah, back in the fall, right? Early fall, maybe?
Yep. We decided to make a little bit of a change.
So what led you to that? Why did you guys decide to switch gears?
So we wanted to switch because we wanted to try something new.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not going to kid ourselves and pretend like we can come up with the best program ever. So, like,
right.
We wanted to try something new to see what it was like. We had, like I said, we had done it for 4.5 years. So it was time to kind of try something new. And there was a couple of reasons, specific reasons why we wanted to switch. So one was to try and remove our own biases out of the programming. So,
yeah.
You know, regardless of how much time we put in and how balanced we try and make it, there's always going to be things that we enjoy programming versus things that we don't want to program.
Right.
So taking it out of our hands kind of removes those biases.
Yeah.
The other reason that we wanted to switch was, and we'll kind of get into this when we talk about what we switched to, is it gives a little bit more consistency across the classes.
Yes.
So the program that we're using has class lesson plans, which I'm sure, you know, most of the people that come to the classes, that's pretty evident.
Right.
So the lessons plans gives consistency to the coaches. It gives them a plan to follow, right? So previously, the warm-up, the instruction piece was all on the coach to kind of come up with.
Yep.
Whereas now we have more of a structured plan that walks through the class so that, you know, everyone, whether it's the 5:45 class or the 6:30 p.m. class, there's some structure and consistency there.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, so you've been a part of that as a coach, right?
Right.
Through both.
Doing both.
Yeah.
And transitioning into the new programming. Yeah. I mean, I found that it was challenging at first to kind of get used to the whole new system that we were using, but it, as far as the warm-ups and the progressions, and it wasn't too far off of like what we were trying to do,
right.
But it just cleaned it up a bunch more.
Yeah.
And like the lesson plans that we have even give tips that we wouldn't have thought of before trying to come up with our own lesson plans.
Yep.
And like you said, it's the consistency is nice, being able to, you know, kind of talk back with the coaches and kind of have the consistency there.
Yep.
Got it.
And then so the other reason was to give like more coaching time.
Yep.
So the program that we're following, the focus is primarily on a single element. So sometimes we'll have strength beforehand and then the workout, but for the most part, the main focus is the workout.
Right.
Whereas before, you know, we would try and do a lot of strength work before the workout, maybe like, you know, skill work after or skill work before or like midline, stuff like that. So we were trying to cram a lot into that single hour.
Right.
Where in that case, like the coaches end up being more kind of time managers versus actually being able to coach.
Right.
So having this structure, it gives our coaches a little bit more opportunity to actually coach the athletes.
Yeah.
And this is sort of like the less is more approach, and they actually talk about this a lot at the level 2 seminar.
Yep.
Where it's more of like a classic CrossFit style programming where you're really focusing on that one element and really like getting into more of the instruction and the teaching and the coaching aspect of
it.
Which I really like. I think that's been a great transition.
I've enjoyed it, and I've definitely felt like I am coaching much more than before.
Which is what people are paying us for.
Right, exactly.
Like, it is our job to coach them, and so it gives us that opportunity more in that hour structure.
Yeah. Even when we do have the element of strength in there, followed by a workout, it doesn't feel like we are trying to rush through the hour because, you know, us as coaches have that lesson plan that kind of breaks down the time frame of where how long we should be spending in each element of that hour.
Right.
So that's been really helpful for us.
Yep.
Cool. So
what did we switch to?
What is this
so,
that we speak of?
Yeah, so we're right now we're following what's called Comp Train Class.
Yeah.
So this is a resource that's put together by Ben Bergeron. He's the owner of CrossFit New England. Mm-hmm. So they're an affiliate up in Natick, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. They've been around for over 10 years. So they're very, very well established. They were one of the, you know, one of the first few
one
affiliates,
of
one of the originals. Yeah. He's also the coach of a bunch of the games athletes, including Katrin, David Sauter, mm-hmm. and Matt Frazier, who happen to be two of the best in the world.
Right. So he's doing something right.
Yeah. He obviously knows his stuff. He's an excellent coach. He's an excellent programmer. And this is the programming that we're using is essentially what's used by his gym and his games athletes. So they take the workout of the day for CrossFit New England.
Right.
They put it in on a website. It's up on a website. They put the lesson plan structure around it, and then we take that and then put it in our own template and then give it to the coaches. And we're essentially falling a week behind.
Mm-hmm.
So whatever they do next Monday, we are doing the following Monday.
Right.
So it gives us a little bit of a buffer to be able to get everything in place for the following
week.
Yeah. So another thing that's nice about it is it's free.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of programs out there that you can pay for that do affiliate programming.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to let everyone in on a little bit of a secret. There's no perfect program, right?
No matter how much you pay for it.
Exactly.
Right?
There's no perfect program. So really the magic is in the community and the coaching.
Right.
And, you know, obviously, you know, like we said, he's been around for a long time. He obviously knows what he's doing. So my personal stance is, you know, why would we pay something for something when we can have this great resource
right,
for free?
Exactly.
So the other really nice thing I think about the Comptrain, the structure is that it's everyone does the same programming, regardless of where you're at. So
like whatever type of athlete you are, right?
Yep. So all of his competitive programming, his class programming, everything is based around the CrossFit New England class workout.
Right. So then how does it differ for if you're a competitive athlete and what defines that, I guess, right?
Yeah. So the competitive athletes, obviously like they're still based around that class workout, but then mm-hmm. they're layering on additional work around that.
Right.
Right. And we'll talk about that. We're going to get into the accessory work that we put on, you know, into our programming and how that kind of works. But what I think is really important is that, like, whether you're a games athlete or you're a weekend warrior or, you know, someone who's just trying to lose 50 pounds or whatever it is, everyone is doing the same workout.
Right.
And I personally think, like, having competitors within a gym do a different program is a huge mistake.
Right.
It creates this sort of, like, rift between competitors versus general classes.
Yeah, and then there's just, like, this kind of, the community is kind of ruffled, I feel like, a little bit, right?
Right.
If it's...
Yeah. I think, like, our number one focus is creating a great community.
Mm-hmm.
And the best way to do that is have everyone doing the same program.
Right.
And that's not to say that, you know, we don't want people to put in the extra work, right?
Right.
Like, that's great. Like, we want people to do that. We want people to do more work if that's what they want to do.
Yeah.
But we just ask that it's structured around the group class.
Yeah.
Because that's
priority.
That's priority.
Yeah.
Yep. And we've actually turned members away because they've wanted to do their own programming. It's just not something that we're interested
right.
in. Right.
It's not going to be good for our community.
Right.
It's not going to contribute to it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, and that's okay. Like there's other, you know, there's other gyms in the area that will allow
sure.
that. And
yeah.
there's, you know, there's a place for
there's
that.
Options,
but,
yeah.
but for us, the most important thing is the community. And that we believe that that's really a very, very key point is having everyone do the same class program.
Right. Yeah.
So having said that, the accessory work.
Yeah.
Right. So we can kind of get into what that looks like and how we structure it in our classes.
Right. So we rarely in these workouts that we've been doing see those higher skill movements with the pull-ups, butterfly, kipping pull-ups. I mean, some people will do those. But like handstand push-ups, kipping handstand push-ups, the muscle-ups.
Yep.
We don't see those very often
because right.
if you are part of that general population who is just looking to stay fit, doing a muscle up isn't probably going to be beneficial, right?
Right.
but we do offer the accessory portion for you if you do want to work on those skills. We throw them in there.
Yep, and that's where you see it much more often.
Right.
And then we do see those movements every once in a while in the group classes. Like we had muscle ups in a workout
couple
this
days
week.
Ago. Yeah.
Yep. But it's much, much less frequently than we programmed it previously.
Right.
Before we would try and get those high skill movements in maybe once every 2 weeks mm-hmm. or so. Whereas now it's probably more on the order of like once a month.
Right.
But again, we see them a lot more in the accessory work.
They're pretty frequent in the accessory work.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. And if you know, competing in the open is something that's of interest to you or of importance to you, then that's where we want to try to start layering in that the accessory
those
work.
Elements there.
And what we do is we're basically taking the accessory work from the open track of comp train individuals.
And there's two different tracks there, right?
Yep. So one is open, and then one is open athletes, one is regional athletes.
Okay.
So the open athletes is for the vast majority of people.
Right.
So anyone who wants to compete in the open or is working to excel in the open, that's essentially the programming that you would follow. Mm-hmm. For the people that have consistently made it to regionals or even the games, so like the upper echelon of the top of the
right.
top, that's really what that regional track is for. And I think the key point here is that, and there's differences in the volume that they do,
right?
Like the regional track is a lot more volume, whereas the open track is really, it's the group class workout, and then it's one, maybe two other elements
right.
layered on.
And that's really, you don't need much more than that, right?
Right.
To like the volume, we'll talk about rest days in a little bit here, but just beating your body up over and over again, it's not like if you're not going to the games, if you're not going to regionals,
yeah.
we're looking at the bigger picture here. We yep. want the longevity.
Yep. And those the regional athletes and the games athletes, like they've earned the right to be able to do that.
Absolutely.
Volume,
right.
right. Most people just can't handle it. And
right.
what ends up happening is you end up kind of diluting your overall effort. So if you're trying to spread your effort over, you know, four or five different components in a given training day, what ends up happening is you're not putting 100% effort into any of them.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah.
So what's most beneficial is taking that group class workout, giving it everything you have,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, layering on one or two at the most other components.
Right. So breaking those down
yeah.
into further.
Yeah. So we typically see in a given week, we'll see like maybe one to three additional strength or Olympic
yeah.
lifting components, one to three gymnastics components, and then maybe one to three additional conditioning or like core midline
right.
components.
Right.
And at least what we've seen, so we're just getting out of the open and kind of getting into the swing after the open. It seems like more of the focus now is on the strength piece.
Yes.
So it's meant to be very general across the year. So there's no specific like focus
like
areas.
It's not like a strength cycle or something
right.
like that. Yeah.
But it seems like they're kind of ramping up that strength work
yeah.
coming out of the open. And then my guess is that like we'll get
as
more
we get
towards the skills and stuff as you get closer
right.
to the open
right.
and the conditioning.
And that should be enough, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think in terms of prioritizing, so you can kind of triage it, right? So if you've got 60 minutes a day, then the thing that's going to give you the most bang for your buck is going to be the group class workout,
right?
Right? So if that's all the time that you have, come in, hit
Get
the class
done.
Hard, and then you're done.
Right.
Right? If you've got more time to do additional work and that's something that you want to do, then we can start to layer in the accessory work from there.
Right.
And you can do it based on what your weaknesses are.
Right.
So
pick one of those three, whether it's the
yeah.
weightlifting or gymnastics or
yeah, maybe you don't have time to do it every day.
Right.
But you can do one or two.
Right.
Right. So
we have it up on our website, and you can always ask one of the coaches if there's like, if you didn't want to do it on that day, you can do it on another day. So
right.
the option is there.
Yep. So if you need to work on strength, then focus on those strength pieces.
Right.
If you need to work on gymnastics, then focus on the gymnastics pieces.
Yeah.
If you've got loads of time and you want to do them all, do them all.
Right.
You know, that's great. But make sure that you're not overtraining, and make sure that you're still able to give that 100% effort on the days where you really want to hit it hard.
Right.
Which kind of leads into
rest days.
Rest days.
Yeah, the importance of them. We don't want to overtrain.
Yeah.
Like you were saying before, if you keep beating yourself and doing the same thing and constantly training, you're not going to improve. You need to allow your body to take those rest days. And with this programming, they specifically program in the Thursday and Sunday as a rest day.
Yeah, for their competitors.
Right.
Yep. Obviously, with the gym, you know, we're not going to program rest days.
Right.
But just take that into consideration, right? When these regional athletes and the games athletes and even their open athletes, their competitors, they are resting 2 days a week.
Right.
Minimum, right? It's programmed into their programs.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have anything on those days.
Right.
So in terms of, like, so the general population, what we would recommend is, like, take one day where you're doing active recovery.
Mm-hmm.
So this can be, you know, doing something outside of the gym, like going for a hike or a run or whatever it is,
right.
You know, whatever you like to do, bike.
Get outside.
Getting outside and yeah. doing something, especially with the weather getting nicer.
Right.
You can also come in the gym and do mobility work mm-hmm. or kind of recovery work on the bike
yeah,
or the rower.
Yeah, something really light, nothing where you're going to be really jacking that heart rate up.
Yep.
Use it to recover.
Yep. And then the second day is a full rest day. We're essentially doing nothing.
Just relax.
Just relax.
Yeah.
Because you need, like you said, you need that time to let your body recover.
Yeah.
When you start increasing the volume, your risk of injury goes up.
Right.
So even for the people that are doing more work and doing that accessory work, those resting days become even more important.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, make sure that you're taking that time to
right.
recover.
Yeah. How do you like to recover? What's your split look like?
I work out whenever I have time. My rest days get programmed in based on picking up kids
right.
and other responsibilities.
Well, and that's the thing too, right? We all have busy lives,
yeah.
so it's important to make sure we do throw those in there when
yep.
we can.
Yep.
But
outside the gym, so this morning I played hockey.
Ah, so there you go.
Yeah. So I probably won't work out today, but I still, you know, got in some conditioning work
right.
and consider that active recovery.
Yeah.
And I'll do tomorrow's class WOD.
Cool.
Yeah. What about you?
I kind of like to work out 3 days in a row and then take a day off, which uh-huh. happens to end up being a Thursday is usually my rest day.
Yeah.
And then I like to try to hit Friday, Saturday. I really love working out on Saturdays. So Sunday usually becomes that day of rest. But again, it gets mixed up, right?
Yeah.
'Cause things happen.
Yep. Yep. So you make it work.
Right.
And you guys have Chloe for active recovery.
Yeah. So we go on lots of walks.
Nice. Okay. So the other thing we wanted to talk about was benchmark WODs.
Yes.
And tracking.
Right.
We've seen a number of these benchmark WODs come up. So we just kind of wanted to address what they are, what
right.
the importance of them is.
Yeah.
So recently we've seen a number of the girl workouts come up.
Yeah. We saw Isabel, Helen, and Grace all
yep.
within 2 weeks
two
of each
weeks,
other.
Yeah. So what are those, right? So
right.
The girl workouts, for those of you who don't know, is there's like a handful of 8 or 10 different workouts that CrossFit HQ has programmed like
right.
way back. This is on really early days.
OG status.
Yep. And they're all named after girls.
Mm-hmm.
And those are like considered benchmark workouts. So the ones you will see kind of continuously come up. They're all like really good tests of fitness.
Right.
And they're great for tracking progress over time.
Right.
Some other benchmarks that we will typically do are hero WODs.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times those will kind of reoccur. We'll do those.
Yeah. We have Murph coming up.
Yep.
So
that's a great, great example.
Yep.
We do that on Memorial Day every year.
Yep.
So that's a great hero WOD as a benchmark. And then the others are like open workouts.
Yep.
We often redo open workouts.
Mm-hmm.
In the open, they always redo one from a previous year
yeah.
To show that progress over time. And then even with the programming that we're following currently,
mm-hmm.
they name all of their workouts.
Right.
So when they come up, you can search based on that name if you've done it before. and easily find it in however you like to track your workouts.
Yeah, that is one of the things I do like about this.
Yeah, it is nice.
Yeah.
So what are benchmark workouts and why are they important?
So we observe, measure, and we repeat them, right? So for example, going back using Helen as an example, we throw Helen into our fundamentals class.
Yep.
It's one of the workouts we do on day two. Helen is 3 rounds for time, 400 meter run, 21 kettlebell swings, 12 pull-ups.
Yep.
Okay. So maybe somebody in fundamentals, they're doing a super light kettlebell. They're probably doing jumping pull-ups. Their time is going to be pretty long. Okay. But when they go to repeat this workout in a year, they might be doing it faster. They might be using a heavier kettlebell, and they're probably doing pull-ups at that point.
Right.
So which is a really cool thing to see, and why we kind of suggest people to, you know, record these things so we can observe this, and kind of measure that progress, right? Yeah. And then we repeat it a year later.
Yep.
Going back to that though, you know, because that's for time, right? Helen is for time. Maybe I'm going to use Allie for an example here because she just did this. She just did Helen for the first time RX.
Yep.
Okay. But her time was significantly slower than the first time she did it because she was probably doing banded or jumping. But,
pull-ups. Yeah.
Right. But yep. Now she's able to do it RX because yep. She has those pull-ups.
And that's a huge accomplishment.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not always about the score or the
right,
time.
Right. Exactly.
Like you can also show progress based on the weight that you're doing or your, you know, scaling
those skills
options,
and yeah,
all that kind of
right,
stuff.
Right.
And we do that, you know, having Helen in the fundamentals, we do that purposely,
right.
Because that's their first exposure to a
benchmark
WOD.
Yeah.
And so then when they see it come up in a class, they can look back to when they did this in fundamentals when they were completely new
right.
and had no idea, you
right.
know, and then see that progress.
Yeah. And it introduces those new people into, okay, let's maybe start tracking, right? Like this is a great time for you to write down this workout and, you know, see where you're at in a year.
Yep. Yep. And really, so it's all around gathering data.
Right.
Right. So whenever we see these benchmark workouts, it's always a good idea to track your score mm-hmm. so that you can have that data point. So down the road, you can, compare when we do it again, you can compare it back to what you had done previously.
Right.
So what are some options for tracking for people?
You can journal. Some people like to write things down.
Kev Maz.
Yes.
Is an old school classic
write
in
the
journal.
Pen and paper
yep.
kind of guy.
Yep.
There's plenty of apps out there. I know MyWOD is a really good one.
That's the one that I use.
Yep. I like that one too. And that one you can sync up to the gym and the workouts and will just load automatically.
Yep.
So it's really easy. You don't have to... You just write your score in.
Yeah. You'll often see a screenshot from Adam Houston
yes.
on Instagram.
Yes.
He uses MyWOD, and I always like seeing his posts.
Yeah, his posts.
When he posts his progress. He's so
great
consistent
about
tracking.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really consistent.
Which is great. I should definitely do a better job than I do.
Agreed.
I'll typically, you know, track the benchmark workouts and lifts and stuff.
Right.
But I don't do a great job of doing just kind of the everyday.
Right.
Workouts.
Another really easy one is, you know, we write your score up on the whiteboard. You can just take a photo of that.
Yep.
Right.
A lot of people do that.
I know Jackie Myers does that. I know Keith does that, and then I think he enters it into his MyWOD app later.
Yeah.
But that's an easy way because then usually when we post a workout, if it's a repeat, you'll say check back
compare
on
to, yep.
so-and-so date.
Yep.
And then you can just scroll back into your photos and find that date and you'll have it there.
Yeah, we always make a point of putting that in the website post so you yeah. know when it's a repeat
right.
and you can go back to the last day that we did it.
Yeah, and compare it from there.
Because it's the whole observable, measurable, repeatable, it's a very key component of CrossFit, right?
Right.
Because because it's so measurable, we mm-hmm. know the rep scheme, we know the load that we're doing, we know the movements that we're doing, and we can track our score.
Mm-hmm.
It allows us to show progress over time
right.
so much better than most other programs, right? Like
right.
if you're in a spin class or yoga,
yeah.
like how do you track your progress
yeah.
over time? You don't know for sure. Like your perceived effort, like, yeah, I get it. You know, you're making progress,
right.
but this is specific data that we can look at.
Exact, yeah.
Yeah, and it's one of the really beauties of CrossFit.
Yeah, totally.
Cool.
All right.
Well, I think that's all we had for today. So should we wrap it up here?
Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and stay tuned for another episode of the CrossFit Ingas podcast.
Bye, everyone.